Today's gospel reading is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. It tells us an inspiring story of how Jesus was tested in the wilderness by the devil and how he handled it. I'll be reading the New International Version. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And the devil left him, and the angels came to attend him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Just recently, a couple in the church shared a story with me from a long time ago when they used to take their scout groups to Europe, both Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts, all the way over to Europe for trips. That in and of itself would make for a pretty marvelous story, right? But it got even better. They were headed to Amsterdam by ship. And on the ship, they had some slot machines. And playing the slot machines was strictly against the rules for the scouts, as it should be for any of us as well, right? Good Methodists don't play slot machines. Well, all of the scouts were given clear instructions. You're not to play the slots. You're not even to go near the slot machine area on the ship. Steer clear. You're the captain of your own ship here. Well, one Girl Scout heard that instruction very clearly, but she had a problem. She had one quarter in her pocket, and that quarter wouldn't be quiet. It just kept whispering to her and whispering to her, and it just kept getting louder and louder. "I'm down here. I'm down here. Look at me." She tried to drown out the voice. "Don't listen to it. Don't look at it. Look out the window. Enjoy the cruise. Enjoy the boat ride." But that quarter wouldn't be quiet. She resisted for a while. It was a long trip. But eventually, sure enough, that quarter made a pretty compelling case. "I'm just one little quarter. Who's going to know? Who can possibly find out? Just try it one time. One quarter in the slot machine. It'll be our little secret." And so she caved. She plunked down that quarter in the first slot machine she came to, and guess what happened? She won! Oh, no flashing lights, sirens going off. Winner, winner, winner. Shh, it didn't matter. It was too late. She was busted. Not only did she win, she won $17,000. I know, right? Oh my gosh. But what is she going to do about it? She can't hide it. Everybody knew she'd have to come clean. And so she did. She came forward, head down, humble and contrite, told the scout leaders what happened. They were disappointed. They asked her why. "Why did you do it?" She paused for a moment and then said, "Temptation." Yep. That's it, isn't it? Temptation. Temptation has been the cause for many a good people to do something they wish they hadn't have done. Temptation has been the cause of many a good people to take many a bad fall in this broken world of ours. Ugh, I wish it wasn't so. But unfortunately, it is. And the scout leaders confiscated the money and handed over to the parents when they got back home. Now, I wish, I really do, that that wasn't the end of the story. I wish I had more information. I asked the couple, what happened to the girl? How did the parents react? What happened with the money? Did anything come of the money? They didn't know. So I don't have a good epilogue to the story. I truly wish I did. Maybe someday we'll know. This woman's not a member of our church, but she's a member of the community. She's probably in her 50s. She's out there somewhere. Maybe she's listening and hearing the sermon. Maybe she'll come forward and say, I've got a story to tell you. I don't know. But hopefully something good will come out of it. You know, it is a biblical thing to take something bad and turn it into something good. Swords into plowshares, as Scripture says, or guns into roses, if you will. But even if something good were to come out of it, it wouldn't justify the sin. Doing the wrong thing is still doing the wrong thing, even if something good comes out of it. That's a really hard concept. She defied the instructions from her scout leaders. She broke the rules of the trip, and she participated in what we in the United Methodist Church would call an immoral activity. Why? It seems harmless, right? Why do we consider it an immoral activity? Well, one, because we believe that it preys unfairly on the poor and the needy and those who can least afford to lose their money. Two, because it preys upon those who are vulnerable, those who give in easily to temptation, those who have addictions. And three, because we believe it destroys families and destroys individual lives. So every one of us faces some kind of temptation. Not everyone has the same temptation. We're all built differently. We're all wired differently. That's the beauty of the way in which God created the world. But where we are weak, and we are all weak somewhere, it is best not to throw ourselves into situations where our temptations are going to be tested. And it's also best not to try to prey upon somebody else's weaknesses. Don't intentionally tempt others. Don't intentionally bait others. Now, I know that's the job of marketing experts. And I know that we are a consumer culture driven by marketing. Get somebody hooked on something. But where there are weaknesses and addictions and temptations, whether we're talking about drinking or smoking or pornography or gambling or anything else that is predatory in nature, I would hope that there would be a moral responsibility not to tempt others, not to bait others. I've been quite taken aback recently by the prevalence of online gambling. Not only is it well established, it's now well advertised. This past year, I was watching the Orioles play. It was fun to get excited about the Orioles again, so I was watching them on TV. Every single commercial break had a commercial about online gambling. I couldn't believe it. It was shocking to me. And not only that, it was targeting young people, especially young men. Young men who would do better to spend their time and their money doing something other than gambling. I wish they wouldn't do it, and I wish the slot industry wouldn't target these young men or the gambling industry. And while I was watching, I kept seeing all of these commercials over and over and over again. And I would imagine we're going to see the same thing for the Super Bowl. Now, the problem with the story with the Girl Scout who played the slot machines is that she got rewarded for her disobedience, right? Oh, hi there, you did the wrong thing. Here's $17,000. That's not going to teach a lesson about ethics, now is it? It makes resisting temptation even the harder. It would be a whole lot easier if somebody got immediate punishment rather than immediate gratification. In other words, if instead of getting $17,000, the slot machine gave you a little shock every time you pulled the lever, that would be a better slot machine, but good luck getting that passed, right? But getting punished for doing the wrong thing makes for a stronger life lesson than getting rewarded for doing the wrong thing. But the reality in our world is sometimes people do get rewarded for doing the wrong thing, and sometimes people get punished for doing the right thing. You've heard the old adage, no good deed goes unpunished. That's a shame. I wish it weren't so. Why do we even bother doing the right thing if there's even the potential that something bad could happen to us? It's not fair. Of course not. Of course it's not fair. Life's not fair. And in this life of ours, sometimes the wicked get rewarded. Sometimes the good get punished. No good deed goes unpunished. And the psalmist cried out to God for this unfairness. How long, O Lord? How long must the wicked prosper? How long must they triumph? How long must they exalt over me? And I am sure that with this whole situation, the devil just shrieks with joy. He loves to play that angle. Doing good gets you nowhere. Do whatever you want. It gets you whatever you want. Life is short. Go for it. Immediate gratification. Just do it. That's what the devil offered Jesus. Immediate gratification. Everything he offered was enticing. It's what the world wants. It's what the world craves. Wealth, unlimited resources, unlimited food, power, riches, fame, kingdoms. We all crave some kind of worldly power. And in a world that's so chaotic, in a world where it feels like God is not responding to our needs fast enough, sometimes we latch on to other things in the world that are not of God. It's easy to be tempted by other things. And what was tempting for Jesus is tempting for us as well. It's easy to imagine ourselves in this passage. It's easy to imagine ourselves in this passage in Jesus' sandals. It's easy to imagine ourselves that we're the ones being tempted. And even though we don't hear Satan's voice the way you're hearing my voice right now, I guarantee you that each and every day, at some point, Satan whispers something in our ear. And how do we respond? Well, my guess is, like every other human being on the planet, we've got good days and we've got bad days. And on good days, we stay faithful to God and we resist temptation. And on bad days, we cave and do the wrong thing. Jesus didn't cave. He resisted temptation. He resisted the devil's bait. To each temptation, Jesus drew from Scripture, his Hebrew Scriptures, Scriptures that were near and dear to his heart, Deuteronomy, to be exact, in the Old Testament. It would be difficult to overestimate the importance of Deuteronomy to the average Jewish family in the ancient world. It was their anchor in the storm. It was the book of the Bible that grounded them in every challenge of life. It was written in the context of the Babylonian exile in order to provide faith answers to questions. Why bad things happen to people in the first place? And why does it seem like God's not with us? Or why does it seem like the world spins helplessly and hopelessly out of control from time to time? And the author's best guess, because we turn away from God. Because we turn away from God. And instead turn toward the things of this world: idolatry, injustice, lack of compassion, other forms of disobedience. This is what sets up the brokenness in the world that we see today and why we need to resist it. Faithfulness leads to God. Faithlessness leads to destruction. Now, for Matthew's congregation, the context wasn't Babylon. The context was Rome. The Roman Empire, with all its power and all its glory and all of its wealth and all of its prestige, it would be pretty attractive. It was. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? They had warm baths and saunas. They had gymnasiums. They had bread and circuses and Colosseum games and roads that lead everywhere and trade and wealth with the whole world. It was a wonderful promise. But it was a hollow promise. The same hollow promise the Satan has offered down through the ages. This is the hollow promise of slot machines and gambling. They say that they're offering you wealth and winnings and easy money. Pull the mask off and you'll see it is Satan offering you only death and destruction. Jesus' strength was found in God and God only. The source of all real power, the source of all everlasting power, and the only source of these things, the only source that is everlasting. All other things are short-lived, sinking sands and crumbling kingdoms. God and God's kingdom are forever. And when we can resist, when we can remain faithful, when we can remain by God's side, we are part of that everlasting promise. So be it. Amen.